coming to ORU. Tell us about how that came about.
When I was in the eighth grade at Memorial Junior High School, a group called the
in San Diego.
The group was called wasn't the World Exorcist Singers. What were they called in those days?
Musical group?
Yeah, from ORU.
I thought it was the World Action Singers, well, but maybe it had a different name back then.
When I got there, they were called the World Action Singers. Before that, I've never forgotten the name before. But anyway, there was another name for them. They came to First Assembly in San Diego at 6th and Fur. Everybody knew that's where it was, the biggest Pentecostal, white Pentecostal church in town. I went down with my mother. We were the only blacks there to watch the concert. 12 beautiful young people in their teens, you know, early teens or late teens, were on the stage singing beautiful music, perfectly dressed, perfect white, clean-cut American Christians, Pentecostal Christians, tongue-talking Christians. And there was and this guy wasn't white. He was from South America or something. He was the speaker that night, a young, charming, young, powerful, young, passionate fellow. I remember him preaching, and he used the word chastity, and I didn't know what it meant. And I looked it up, but it related to holiness and, you know, avoiding sex out of wedlock. So I was very impressed with the group, very impressed with the concert. It wasn't really my kind of music. It was white Pentecostal music. That's the way we would have described it in those days. But on the way home from the concert, my mother said, when you get ready to go to college, that's where I want you to go. Now, she had been supporting Oral Roberts, Morcerillo, T.L. Osborne, those, you know, $5 a month, all those $2 or $3 here and there for years. But I never watched the show till the year before, till my senior year of college. I may have seen some of the tent revivals, black and white television occasion, but I wasn't that interested. But when I came to my senior year, I didn't think of any other school. I actually applied to two others, but it's $15 every time you send an application in. I couldn't afford that. So I prayed. I said, God, where should I go to school? I felt led to go to ORU. So that's the only school that accepted me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Chuck Ramsey, I remember hearing his voice so warm. It was like an angel. He was so welcoming. And he was the only one that didn't have a heavy Southern accent. When I called on her, even the telephone operator sounded like Mayberry and Gomer Pound. I thought, these, am I going to Mayberry? And I associated that, of course, with racism, that Southern drill. But he didn't have it. And he kept taking my calls and kept encouraging me and telling me I could come.
I know Chuck as well, but he was the first recruiter for Oral Roberts.
Yeah, he was head of the admissions office at that time in 1971.
Okay.
So if you called to come to the school, he's who you talk to. He made the final decision.
Yeah, on you. Had he met you in person?
No, he just did it on the phone. Mm-hmm. He said to me, I ran into him in a restaurant the other day, and he said to the people with him, he said, this guy had the clearest, most articulate, forceful voice of any student that ever called in. He's never told me that before. He was impressed with my articulation and my voice. He discerned my spirit through my voice and said, we're going to have him, even though I had a science and math deficiency when I came. And I didn't have a full scholarship. I had no scholarship, and I had no money.
Okay, how do we then enter ORU with no money?
Well, they didn't make me pay it right away. Oral was looking for, in fact, the night I met Oral, it was in August of 1971, they had a reception. As soon as I shook his hand, the first thing he said is, do you sing? And I said, well, I try. He said, well, talk to my son down there. We want to see if we can get you in the World Action Singers. I didn't even know what that was. Oh, they were called the Collegiates. That's what their term was before. Now I use the term World Action Singers, and I wasn't sure what that was. But he was looking for integration in his group, and he wanted to keep ethnic people, blacks, Hispanics, or whatever. He was always for, I didn't realize he was Native American. He had gone through the impoverishment that we had, and he identified with me in that way. But we instantly connected. I mean, in seconds. That night when I shook his hand, I fell in love with him. I hadn't heard him preach. I wasn't following him. I just was following what I call the Lord in my mom when I came here. But I loved him instantly. He could clear his throat, and I would feel the Holy Ghost. I was so into that man. It was almost like a worship thing.
Okay, so you were like 18.
I was 18
years old. Mm-hmm. Well, then let's continue here with Oral. Did he How much interaction did you have that first year? Did he reach out to you and want to visit with you? How did you? Because you must have built some kind of a relationship.
Well, I sang one time in chapel. I went to for some reason we had chapel on the fifth floor of the LRC in those days. We hadn't built the other half of the LRC Learning Resources Center. So I went to the piano one day and sang. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus, and I think Ron Smith, who was at that time director of operations and had just built the University Village, heard me, and Bob Stamps, who was the chaplain, recognized something on me or in me, and Oral slipped in there one time and heard me sing, and then they started asking me to lead the music for his seminars. He used to have partner seminars where he'd raise money to build dorms and stuff. Excuse me. So I remember they asked me that the first time, and his daughter, Roberta, was playing the organ, and later on, Joyce Lampkin and Helen Stubblefield, whose name is Trowbridge. Now, I kept leading the singing, and Ron said to me one day, "You know, the president likes you." And I said, "How would I know that?" He said, "Well, he does. Or you wouldn't have been singing twice."
That must have just...
It was like, Oral Roberts likes me. I don't even know if he knows I'm in the room, but he noticed everything from my shoes to my fro and had an opinion about everything. But he started... slowly taught. They let me come up that next spring, my freshman year. That spring, I auditioned for the Rural Action Singers. I did it twice, and I didn't make it to the third time, which was that spring. But I had been leading the singing all along. And
okay, so you auditioned twice and didn't make it.
I did. I couldn't read music, and I was auditioning for a tenor part.
And because you couldn't read music, that was...
Well, Richard was looking at it that way, but I remember when the first time they asked us to do it, they said, "Tenor, sing the tenor line." And I didn't know what a tenor line was. And I said to the guy next to me, I didn't realize it was exposing my ignorance by saying, "What's the tenor line?" So even if I looked at it, I wouldn't know what it meant. Everybody else in there were gifted musicians. They had trained and they knew how to read music, sight read. And I didn't, never did, still don't. But Richard heard me sing. And I remember when I he was standing in front of me when I said, "Where is the tenor line?" He quickly turned away as if he didn't hear me say that, because he didn't want them to see that I didn't know, and he didn't want me to see that he didn't know. But I think he'd already made up his mind, because his dad had said, "We want to get that black kid in there, Carlton Pearson. He's who we need." They said it was, other people said I was his token black and gopher and all that stuff, but I knew in my spirit that that was part of my destiny, that I was supposed to be a part of the ministry. I didn't realize a full scholarship came with it. But I had gone for one. My Bishop Blake, his son, Charles Blake, is the presiding bishop of the Church of God in Christ right now, who was my chief consecrator to the bishopric, and he performed my wedding, chief officiant. His dad said, "Son, when you get down there, when the old man recognizes you're there, he's going to want to keep you." I said, "And what does that mean?" He said, "Well, listen to him, but don't forget your roots. Don't forget us." Remember the term, "don't forget us," which meant the Church of God in Christ. "He's going to want to keep you." Bishop Blake said that. And Oral did. The day he met me, he knew that I belonged. He told me that later. But I felt it. And so I got a full scholarship. Bishop Blake said, "I'll give you $100 a month for 1 year." And he did, along with the man my mother worked for, Dr. Warner, a white man. When he first met me, when I was 12, I shook his hand, and he said that to my my mother told me this later. He said that young man had a grip when he shook my hand. He's going places. And then 6 years later, when I was 18, he remembered that. And at the end of that year, that money stopped, and that's when I got a full scholarship. I mean, that took care of everything for 5.5 years.
Because you traveled with the World Action Singers.
Became a World Action Singer and traveled with Earl, did all the specials, all the seminars, led the music.
And you couldn't read music?
Couldn't read it.
Even today?
Even today.
So you've got through all that by ear?
By ear. I could hear it one time. I didn't realize that was extraordinary, but we would rehearse all the time. And so all the other singers were dependent on the sheets, on the music sheets, and sometimes for lyrics I might notice, but I could hear my part and remember my part. We would sing a cappella on planes and in airports, and people would gather around the singers, and it was a good witness for the Lord, and it advertised the university. Oral liked all that stuff, and we did too. So I made it. I always felt that was my. These were things that were occurring that were, in my opinion, now acts of God, but I didn't know it. It was just doing what you're supposed to do. And I learned how to ski. Colin Steele used to be in charge of the big trucks and putting up the big tents and taking them down. And he one day said, called me when I was working at ORU and said, let's go skiing. I said, I've never skied before. He said, well, come on out to the lake. I got in the car with him. I said, explain to me what skiing is and what happens. Now, here I am from the West Coast, beaches and all that stuff, but I'd never skied. Knew no black people that skied. Well, he said, I get in the water. My wife throws me
Water skiing you're talking about.
Yeah, water skiing, not snow. I hate snow, but skiing. I love snow, but not skiing. First time I did that, I skied all day with a left boot on, with a left boot on my right foot. Bad experience.
But Oral, he became your mentor.
Yes, and occasionally tormentor. But he took to me right away. I actually was one of the few students that had access to the house. I could walk from my dorm up through the gates into their house. Evelyn would cook food for me. I was in the swimming pool. Sometimes in the summertime, they let the singers go up there and swim because we had to stay on campus and do shoot all year long for his TV program. So I remember one day, Oral sat on the edge of the pool until sweat was running off his brow and talked to me. He could have said, come on in the house. He sat there, and Joyce Lampkin, who had lupus and died in 1974, said to me, do you realize what just happened to you? She's a black girl. I said, what do you mean? He said, Oral doesn't take that kind of time with anybody, not even staff. He sat there until sweat was running off of him talking to you. We were talking back and forth. He said, you're blessed. And it dawned on me that time that maybe this guy really does like me. I didn't notice that he wasn't sharing with the other kids. We were just I was fascinated with getting his attention, asking him questions, and he was just talking. So that began, and as the years went along, in 1972, this is important, for Black History Week, it was called then, I invited J.O. Patterson, who was the presiding bishop of the Churches of God in Christ, whom Oral knew and admired because of his preaching style, to come and speak for us. And he did at chapel. And then he invited Oral to come to our major convocation, which has 50,000 people coming to Memphis, Tennessee, the largest Black Pentecostal denomination in the world. And Oral, the following November, would have been 72, Oral asked me to go with him. First time I got to ride on the private university jet, just me and Oral and two security guards. Dude, that was big time.
It sure was.
We walk into that place, and we're talking the whole time. I'm kind of briefing him on what to experience and expect when we got there. He wanted me to go on stage with him so he could advertise his young Black student and recruit more Black students. But they wouldn't permit me to go on the stage because that was like the Holy of Holies, where the 12 men that run the denomination sit like some cardinals or archbishops in the Vatican. But I went through the crowd raising my own offering. Because all those old little sweet saints say, hi, baby, how you, what you, here, let me give you something. And everybody would give me some $5, $2, $10, $20. My honorarium was almost as big as he is. he kept saying, no, come onto the stage. I said, sir, I'll explain it to you later. I can't go on the stage with you. Go on, I'll meet you at this spot afterward. And so I remember they handed him an envelope, thick envelope full of cash. Several thousand dollars would have been probably $3,000 or $5,000. And he said, oh, no. I'm thinking, dude, are you, what? He refused the money.
Oral refused the money.
Yeah. And he said to Bishop Blake, he said, donate it to your mission department. And I'm thinking, I cannot believe you're not taking, at least give it to me. We got on the jet and I said, sir, why did you refuse the offering? He said, well, I never accept personal, especially cash offerings from anybody. I've never done that in my whole years of ministry. The IRS was watching. And you never know who's there. They would use that against me. I said, well, you could have just taken it. You know I'm struggling down. You could have given it to me. He said, you're all right, boy. And I was.
But you had raised enough.
I had cash.
You took your money.
Oh, all cash in my pocket. I kept my offering, sir.